Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much. Joining us, Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're going to talk about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world today. Hey, Joan.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
Hi there.
Hi there.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
You know, folks, I was wondering why... Oh, by the way, Joan and I, we have many things in common. But we also have many things that are not in common. But one of the things you and I have in common is that you and I agree on that we don't need to know every little teeny tiny thing that's going on in the Scott Peterson murder trial.
You know what? We don't need to know any more. We don't need to know any of it.
Tell me what you're going to do with him. That's all. You know, down the road, whenever it's through, tell me what happened.
The only people that even need to know that are Lacey Peterson's family.
Right.
Everybody
else.
Well,
I mean, I don't mind. I would be willing. It'd be fine with me to report to me that you know what the verdict of the jury was. I'd like to know that.
True. Yeah.
I want to know that.
Guilty. That's it. Takes 2 seconds.
Yeah. Exactly. That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
But and then there's this case in Utah. This the Mark Hacking case. I guess it is. And I, you know, I'm figuring CNN must have it cost CNN $10 billion in ad revenue when Hacking basically confessed. I mean, they, you know, you got to believe that a lot of these talking head shows, you know, the idea that he has confessed is really cost them a lot of money.
Oh, no question about it. It's too bad for the media, but it's just as well for the poor families.
Well, I thought I was the only person who didn't watch 1 minute, one consecutive minute, one whole 60-second period of the OJ trial, but you apparently didn't either.
I don't think I did either.
Yeah, I had no interest.
I watched
in it.
The verdict, and that was about it, which is more than I think you watched.
I didn't even watch the verdict.
But I was at work, and it was on, so I watched it.
No, I maybe it's because I have a life. I don't know, Joan. But
no, that's not it.
Oh, it's
not
okay.
It.
Yeah, you know better, don't you?
Right.
You know.
Well, see, Jim, I think we're kind of bonding here.
Oh, I know it's frightening. Let's move on quickly.
Okay, that's a good idea.
I noticed though that I'm feeling a little giddy and happy this month, and I couldn't figure out why. And you just reminded me. Tell the audience.
I know what it is.
Tell the audience why I'm feeling happy and you know almost. You know, just a little lighthearted and everything. Why is
that? In fact, anybody around the country who got up this morning and is feeling a little bit happier, or I guess this has been going on since the beginning of the month, Congress is out of town for their annual summer break. They're on their summer vacation, so the Republic is safe.
The
they
Republic,
can't do anything.
I feel so much safer when they're not gaggled together up there
and
in Washington.
They took an extra long break this year. They were gone as of the last week of July.
You know, I'm thinking about that. You know, that little song that they played in the cartoons. You know, when the little bucolic setting out in the pasture and everything, and when the birds were twerping and all that kind of thing. That's how I feel right now because Congress is out of session, and the president is often out of town now campaigning. So
right.
Is that leaving you with Washington, Joan? Are you minding Washington now? It's you and a lobbyist,
much.
Though.
It's
you
about
and a lobbyist.
Me and maybe three or four other people, and that's it.
I always
and boy, is it nice.
That's the reason I like August, is because the government is basically gone.
That's right.
They can't be up to any mischief.
And Joe, this year, they'll come back and be gone again pretty quickly again because we have elections at the beginning
campaign,
of November.
After campaign.
So
that's,
you
so,
have to
so,
figure that there may be, what, eight weeks left in the congressional session.
So you're saying that maybe that's one good thing about an election year?
Oh, no, absolutely.
Joan, let's talk about what's on the letter. In the letter, the first bit of news in the letter on page one is the issue of energy prices.
Yes.
Talk to us about it.
Well, just to preface this, a little late-breaking news. Energy oil futures yesterday, I think, rose above $47,
yeah, yeah.
Which is, I think, a record.
It's a dollar record. It's not a percentage record relative to inflation, adjusted for
inflation.
Okay,
very good. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that. Yeah. But I guess the point is things are going to get worse before they get better, which is kind of a lead into our lead, which is about how energy prices are affecting the economy and will be affecting the economy for months to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems that some of the pricing that we have now for oil, which, by the way, Joan, I saw something the other day, and maybe it may have been on your website, I can't remember, but I saw something the other day about the fact that oil prices would have to almost double to be above a record in terms of adjusted for inflation from the previous high.
Well, that's good news.
Well, it's good news, except
in a way.
It might make you feel a little better, but it doesn't help you at the gas pump.
No, because in relative terms, gas prices are still very high compared to what they were 1 year or 2 years ago, and people
right.
are having, both individuals and businesses, as you know, are having to adjust their lives
their
around
budgets.
This.
Well,
their budgets, right.
It's having a severe impact on the economy.
Yes.
It's
a tax. It really is.
Bill Dunkelberg was on earlier, and he was pointing out and I've forgotten the number that you used, but he was talking about what a significant percentage of extra tax this is on our economy. And of course, if it ever comes down, the tax will go away. But a lot of the problem we have right now, several of my economists have pointed out this month, is not so much anymore about the supply and demand issue, as it is speculation. There's some speculation going on, which is increasing the price of oil.
Oh, I believe that. Sure.
So
it's to be expected at this point.
Right. So, Joan, let's talk about the production issue. The word that I read recently was that the Saudis, which we even though we think about OPEC, we typically think about the Saudis taking up the slack whenever we can get them to do that.
Right.
And apparently, what I read was, and this is the exact word that were used, they're prepared to produce flat out. Now, do you know what that means?
They said flat out?
Flat out is the exact words that we used.
In terms of how much is that? I don't know how much that is, no.
But I mean, it just means that whatever, they're going to crank open the pipes, and as much as those pipes will hold, and as long as they, as you know, and for as long as they need, they're prepared to take up the slack and pump flat out.
Well, they can crank all they want, but you still have problems even outside the Middle East, because you have to look at Russia and Venezuela
that's
and other
exactly
areas,
right.
too.
That's exactly right. We've got some
that's
problems down there.
Mean.
And that's why the speculation is going on.
Right.
And Iraq and Russia and Venezuela, that's where the folks are trying to speculate on what's going on, and there's a lot of worries there. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. That's jbsba.com. That's the acronym, by the way, for Jim Blassingame, Small Business Advocate, in case you forget. Maybe that'll help you. And you can subscribe to our free newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it. This week, the feature article is about networking thoughts, some thoughts that'll help you do a better job and get a little more return on your investment when you're networking. Also, don't forget all the other things you can do on my site, archives and articles and lots of different things there. Joan Pride is our guest, and she's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about what's on the first page of the Kiplinger Letter this week, which is primarily all about petroleum. And Joan, the stars are aligning to create a little bit of fuel budget disaster
yes.
in terms of the increase in demand, the not increase in capacity for refined products of petroleum, and then when you throw in the fact that Russia has crippled one of their largest oil producers in a tax battle, the Zucos folks. And you got the Venezuela thing, as you mentioned earlier. We got other problems over there. We got who knows what's going to happen in Iraq, and And it's a skittish time right now. The combination of those two things are driving fuel prices up.
You know, Jim, I was feeling pretty good when I got up this morning, and you're starting to ruin my day.
Well,
but it's very true, and that's kind of why our lead was what we called the risk factor.
Right.
There's so much possible risk out there and so much uncertainty, which is part of the reason why you have oil futures as high as they are today.
Well, you're right, and you know that I don't like dwelling on these things, but I think it's important for small business owners to realize, if they haven't thought about it before, is to realize what the dynamics are of when they pay $1.80 or $2 for a gallon of gas, and what the dynamics are to create that kind of a price, and what basically is the reason why I'm telling small business owners, when you're budgeting your fleet fuel for the next 6 months or a year, you need to budget it at least at where it is right now.
Yes. That's a very good point.
Because there are two things have to resolve themselves before prices come down. One of them is this unrest, which actually could happen, but the other is the supply and demand thing, which is, believe it or not, Joan, that's going to be harder to fix than the unrest thing, isn't it?
Well, you know, we're all addicted to our big, huge SUVs,
yep.
You know, and I have my fleet of Hummers.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I don't know how that's going to change.
Joan, here's a number that you guys published this week that just, I've seen it before, but it just blows me away every time I see it. Folks, here's the world output of crude oil. Here's the number. 90 million barrels of crude every day of the year.
Well, I hate to be nitpicky here,
well,
but it's really 82 right now.
82.
It's only 82.
Right. It's going to go. That's right. That's right. You guys said it's going to that by 2007, yeah. But still 82 million. Joan, I'm thinking, what is it looking like down there where all this is coming from? You know what I mean? What is it? What are the holes? What's going in those holes?
Do we really have that much oil for indefinitely?
Which brings,
we can pump that much?
You know, an orange, like a 2 week old orange, looks like after sit on the counter for a couple of weeks. You know how it kind of wrinkles up a little bit. I wonder, is the earth going to turn into a piece of dried fruit one of these days? But Joan, talking about that, 90 million, 82 million barrels a day, one of the things I keep coming back to on this is the fact that nobody really knows. I'm not even sure that the Saudis know for sure, but they're not telling, if they do know, what their reserves are.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So you know, we're sitting here, as you say, thinking that it's like electricity. We plug it into the wall and we get some. You know, this is a finite, whatever petroleum we have is a finite number, isn't it?
No question about it.
So it's something to think about.
Yeah. What are you saying about me, that I have to give up some of my Hummers?
I'm thinking that you're going to have to go down to at least no more than two Hummers and nothing but the
two.
Bentley. The only limousine you can have is the Bentley.
Ooh. I'll get back to you on that.
And I need you to upgrade the motors on your helicopter to get the more efficient
well, that
engine.
I can do.
The more efficient engines in your motorcycles.
Well, at least I get to keep it.
Well, Joan, where are we going with all this? Is there any good news on the horizon with regard to petroleum? Is anybody going to spend any money to try to find new petroleum or increase the production?
Well, you would think, you know, the pendulum swings back and forth. I know that there was a dearth of that kind of activity going on, but you would think it would have to pick up now, given the price situation.
Yeah, but apparently, according to you guys, it seems that not too many people are willing to put the capital into this.
Well, that's true.
But that would make you think that maybe people are putting capital into alternative fuels. And I know that's going on, but I don't think it's going on to a great degree, is it?
Or not fast enough, maybe.
Not fast enough, yeah. Stand by. When we come back, we're going to talk about some new banking issues with regard to your check. How fast your check's going to speed through the bank. We're going to talk about that first, right after these messages. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
celebrating 6 years as radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for your time and attention. And as a friend of mine says to his customers, thank you for the food. Joan Bride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And don't forget, my website is www.jbsba.com. And Joan's website at Kiplinger is kiplinger.com. That's where they can subscribe to the newsletters, can't they, Joan?
It's a great website, absolutely.
It really is. You can, in addition to their letters, folks, their publications, I should say, rather than newsletters. Mine's a newsletter. Theirs is a real letter. The Kiplinger letter, which has been around since 23, that's 1923, is where you can, that's the weekly flagship letter. That's the one Joan and I work off of. And don't forget, they've got 3 other biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter. And they'd also got a magazine that's pretty cool, too, Joan.
That's right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And I saw it on the newsstand the other day. I was actually at an airport the other day, and I saw it. It's quite often. You can find it, folks, in bookstores and newsstands, and that's monthly. And you can go to the website and subscribe and get that 30-day free trial, or they can call a phone number, Joan. You got the phone number?
That's right. We do. We have a toll-free number. It's 800-544-0155.
All right. So whatever Kiplinger does, folks, is good stuff. Joan, over on page 2, you guys talk about something that's going to change, that is changing, the way we do our banking business. You know, Joan, there was a time when you could go down in the morning and pay your cable bill or your utility bill or your phone bill, or you could write a check to a business for your cleaning or whatever on Friday morning because you knew you were going to get paid that afternoon, and you could deposit it, you know, by 5 o'clock, 5:30 on Friday. And even though it wasn't going to be in your account until Monday, you knew those checks that you wrote that morning were going to be covered because they weren't going to hit until maybe Tuesday or Wednesday.
Well,
that was a nice trip down memory lane, wasn't it?
Let's get back to the real world now.
The real world is something called Check 21. Tell us about it.
Well, I guess for years they've been calling it check truncation, which means that you may pay by check, but at some point in the process, that check will cease to be a piece of paper and become an electronic transaction.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you need to know that because it's going to move through the system a heck of a lot faster.
Well, it's already happening. The speed with which your account is tapped for the money that you write that check for is already happening. You know, a couple of years ago, Joan, I walked into a department store and gave them a check, and they put it through their system, and literally, while I was standing there, confirmed that I had the money in the account.
That's right. That's check truncation, right?
Mm-hmm. But now Check 21, and Mike Menzies, our resident banker, was on the show a couple of weeks ago and told us that, and I think this is one of the things you were mentioning, and I think you guys mentioned that in your letter this week, is that people will, the company that you give your check to, if they have the equipment, will actually put your check into the machine, and it'll ring up, it'll verify you have the funds, and then they'll hand you your check back.
That's right. Oh, that's happened to me.
Has it really?
Oh, yeah, that's happened. What I mean by this idea of truncating the transaction.
Okay.
You get the check back, so it never actually goes through the system. And
right.
By that happening, you save a lot of money.
Well, yeah, it cuts down on the expenses, especially for the bank. When I did the example of what I said, they kept my check. They just verified the funds. But what you're saying, and this Check 21 thing is you actually, you know, I mean, so if you're going to get the check back, why even write it? You know, and that's where we're moving towards the debit things.
That was what my other point was. I'm addicted to my debit card. I use that for just about everything I can.
But how do you keep up with your records and everything? I mean,
I have a little secret way of doing that.
Oh, you do? Oh,
yes.
a secret way.
Well, you have to make sure you get the receipt, and I put it in a spot in my wallet where I'll see it and make sure I add it to my balance.
Right.
Subtracted from my balance soon after. Because if you just throw the receipt away, you wreak havoc with your checkbook.
Okay, now, folks, that's her secret way, so don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
She shared her little secret with us.
No, this is just for your listeners.
This is just for us.
Premium information that your listeners are getting.
You know, Joan, in the old days, there was a little joke at the end of a big negotiation, like a real estate transaction, especially if it was among professionals. Who gets the float? Whenever a transaction would happen on a Friday, who gets the float? That means who gets to keep the money in their account for the next 3 days till all the I's get dotted and crossed?
Ain't no float no more.
There's no float anymore. That's exactly right. And when we come back, this is changing the way the Federal Reserve Board is doing business. I want to comment on that real quick, and then we'll move on to some other things with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Stay with us. 20 till. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Bill Dunkelberg. Bill is Chief Economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, and we're talking about the report that he does every month. He polls several hundred, probably, well, in this case, I think about 1,200 small business owners across the country to ask them about what they're doing and what they're seeing, and he reports back to us about what they have to say. And by the way, you can find this report on my website, but also, Bill, won't you tell us where else we can find the report?
Well, you can find the last 12 monthly reports and also other related research we've done at a website called smallbiz.org, smallbus.org. And, of course, eventually this stuff shows up at our NFIB website, nfib.com/research, and you can find it there.
Right, absolutely. And now, let's talk about gasoline prices with regard to inflation. That's really been the skunk in the tea party this year, hasn't it? Fuel prices.
Yeah. Well, there are two perspectives here. One is again, inflation is defined as an increase in the average price level. So, if say the price of gasoline goes to $2 a gallon and then just stays there, inflation stops, because it's not going up anymore. So, and we're likely to reach some kind of spot like that where we see, $1.80, $1.90 is going to kind of stay there, but it's not going to go to $3. That would be more inflation. Certainly energy prices have contributed mightily to the increase in the consumer price index that we've seen over the last 6 months. But the other economic issue, of course, is that in the very simple kind of rule of thumb terms, every dollar increase in the barrel price of oil is like a $5 billion tax on consumers.
Right.
So we've done, going from 25 to 45, that's 20 bucks times 5, that's $100 billion. That's, that's kind of a major offset to
that's
the stimulus from the tax cut. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one issue. Recycling those oil dollars, getting whoever's earning that money to spend it back here in the U.S. is important to us. But notice that even with this huge oil tax, the economy is doing exceptionally well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime in the future when things slow down, oil prices will fall, and, of course, we'll get a tax cut just at the right time. It will be stimulative for the economy.
But I'm not hopeful. I wish it were true, but I'm not too confident that oil prices are going to come down for a while.
All that much.
Do you agree with that?
I think we need to,
I'm telling small business owners, I think they need to plan on budgeting, near $2 a gallon for gas for their fleet for as far as the eye can see.
That's not bad advice. The problem we have is, in simple terms, is that for the past 20 years, during the past 20 years, we haven't really had any major oil finds anywhere. In the meantime, the demand for oil grows 2 or 3% a year. Well, you multiply that by 20 years, and what you've got is a huge amount of demand now and not much change in supply. And that
not only in terms of the raw product, but also in the finished product, the refining product.
Right. So supply is very tight relative to demand. And when that happens, small things, small shocks, like a scare in South America or the Iraqi scare, mm-hmm. or the problems with Yukos in Russia, can result in major fluctuations in futures markets. That is, what we're seeing is $47 oil for delivery in September, October, November. That is, people are, hedging.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean the oil prices will actually end up there when we get to those months. Could be much lower, could be higher, but probably not. So we'll have to wait and see, but that's what's going on right now.
What about consumers have eased up a little bit in their spending, but businesses have kind of helped the economy with their capital spending, and small business owners have been part of that, haven't they?
We've been doing our job. We certainly have been carrying, I think, our end of the deal. We have about two-thirds of our members reporting actual capital outlays on plant and equipment over the past 6 months. And going forward, about a third of them plan to make capital outlays in the next 3 months, and those are good numbers historically for our survey, and so it means we're carrying our weight. Overall, capital spending in the second quarter grew at a 10% annual rate. That's wonderful.
I saw something the other day, Bill, that said inventories were building at a little bit of a high rate. Does that concern you from a standpoint of overbuilding on inventories?
Well, if we did too much of it, it would. Inventory sales ratios are at historic low levels. We've been trying to build inventory from our small business survey. We've been trying to build inventory for a year now. And the good news is, of course, that as fast as we put it on the shelves, consumers have been taking it off, which means you can't build your inventory, but that's good news.
So inventory building is not dangerous as long as the turns are there.
Yeah, as long as it's not excessive. That is, there are two ways you can build inventory. One is you manufacture something because you want it, put it on the shelves, and you're low on inventory. The other is you suddenly have a decline in customers, and so stuff gets left on your shelf, and your inventory builds. That's definitely not the case here. Our people are not very satisfied with their inventories. They think they're too low from an historic perspective, and we have near-record percentages of small business owners still trying to increase their inventories in the second half of the year.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I ask about the inventory situation is because one of the reasons it seems to me why our recessions over the last 20 years have been less damaging is because we have done a better job of managing our inventories.
Absolutely. I think the last good inventory cycle was probably 1974-5 in that recession.
Right.
Inflation started up, and everybody said, hey, we can make money on just having inventory because the price of it goes up while it's sitting here, and that's wonderful.
Right.
We overinvested, and then, of course, we had to cut prices like crazy to get rid of the inventory.
And we didn't have the good inventory management systems, the just-in-time management systems that we have now.
Nobody had a PC.
It's exactly right, and that makes a lot of difference. We come back, we're going to talk with Bill about how small business owners feel about expanding their businesses. Some good news here. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. The small business advocate, Bill Dunkelberg, is our guest. He's professor of economics at Temple University and former chairman of the whole business school at Temple. And now he's a professor, choosing to slow down a little bit and smell the roses a little bit. That's probably a tough job, being the chairman of that whole division.
Yeah, the dean's job is... Well, as they say, the dean is to the faculty as the fire plug is to the dog. It's a job. I didn't slow down. I just do different things, you know.
Right,
I think that,
right.
And I have more fun doing it. I was the dean for 8 years, and I
said chairman. I meant dean. I apologize for that.
That's all right. With 160 regular faculty and 200 adjuncts and 7,000 students, you have your hands full.
But now you're having fun teaching, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Folks,
teaching
don't forget.
Is always good.
Don't forget to check out NFIB.com, and if an NFIB rep calls on you, as you know, folks, I've been a member of the NFIB for a long time, a lot longer than I've been doing the show, and I believe in what they do. So I encourage you, if somebody calls on you from the NFIB, give them a few minutes of your time and find out what they have to say and tell them I said so. Bill, some good news for small businesses. I like this number. 25% of owners expressed the view that now was a good time to expand their facilities. And that's up from a year ago, isn't it?
That definitely is. It's almost double a year ago, and it's up 4 points from the June number, just in the July number. It's very clear that optimism is on the rise amongst the small business community, and that's important because we produce half the private sector GDP.
Right.
Our optimism index is, except for last December, which was a great reading, this the July reading is the highest since 1984, That's good, because that was that was the prelude to a marvelous expansion in the economy.
Bill, I'm going to leave your report for just a minute and ask you to help us with a definition. Somebody asked me this question this week, and I gave them an answer. I'm not sure I did a very good job. Tell us the difference between GNP and GDP, gross national product and gross domestic product.
Basically, it has to do with income flows. Think of it this way. When we count a gross national product, a company in the U.S. earning money in Europe would be counted in the GDP, all right? But a European company making money here and hiring people here would not be counted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the national comes from. If it's our company, it doesn't matter where it is, we count it in our GDP.
Mm-hmm.
Gross domestic product says, we don't care who's hiring our people. Let's just measure the value of the output happening inside the borders of the 50 states.
Right.
And so the differences aren't really huge in terms of percentages, but it's a different concept, and everybody's kind of using it these days. And so that's what we look at.
But small businesses contribute to both of those, right?
We don't export very much. Only 3 or 4% of us are involved in exporting.
Which would be the national report.
Right, and having operations overseas. So that it's really whether you have an operation overseas that matters or not. And, of course, there may be small businesses owned by foreigners here,
right?
Which would be counted on our GDP, even though somebody from Italy maybe owned the company.
But in terms of what small businesses contribute to, GDP is that's the reason you use GDP in your reports.
Well, we use GDP because that's what everybody uses now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new standard of measurement. It's been in for, 10 or 15 years, I think.
Right. All right. Well, that's good information to know. Well, I think I sort of gave that information. I didn't do as good a job as you just did, and I appreciate you helping us with that. In the minute we've got left, what about credit? How are things going with credit in small businesses?
Well, so far things are looking very good. There's been very little change in the rate we pay for our money because interest rates really haven't gone anywhere. In part because I think people believe the Fed, will keep things under control. That's good. we don't have any trouble getting credit. The percentage of our owners that say they had trouble getting a loan or increasing trouble is still historically very low. So financial markets remain very friendly, and about a third of us borrow regularly and no problems.
Well, and prime is still just 4.5.
Yeah, and it'll go up, of course. Every quarter point the Fed throws in, the prime will go up, but...
Where do you see us? Where does Bill Dunkelberg see the Fed funds rate a year?
Well,
one year from now.
Yeah, a year from now. Let's see. I'd have to figure out how many quarter points we can squeeze in. The Fed is there are 8 meetings in a year, I guess. So that would be 2 points we could get. So we could easily be at 3+, and that's where the Fed is really aiming for. It thinks that's kind of a neutral rate, which is what it likes to achieve. Which would be some positive real rate plus the inflation rate of 2%.
Right. Well, I hope they don't go over 3. I'd like to see it under 3 for a while. Bill Dunkelberg, thank you for being here. Good information, and we appreciate your time and your commitment and all the things that you do for small business.
Thank you, Jim.
Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back next month, in fact. Maybe twice next month. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
USA Radio Network News, John Scott reporting. Iraq's government says time is running out for Muqtada al-Sadr. He remains holed up inside the Imam Ali Mosque in Najaf. The Iraqi Minister of State says all peaceful means of getting Sadr to leave that shrine have been exhausted now. Retired Army Major Dana Dillon, a senior fellow with the Heritage Foundation, says the clerics should stand up against Sadr.
There are clerics in Najaf who are very upset about all this, but they have much smaller militias than Sadr does. I wish these guys would stand up and tell Sadr, go home and don't come back.
Dillon on the Fox News Channel. Meanwhile, there's been no let-up in the fighting. At least five people killed in a mortar attack on a police station. Police say at least 21 others wounded. They say three mortar bombs slammed into the station in quick succession. An explosion at an underground natural gas storage facility has led authorities to call for an evacuation in Liberty County, Texas. No injuries reported. Captain William Tidwell with the Liberty County Sheriff's Department spoke with USA News.
Emergency management officials from City of Liberty and from Liberty County are on the scene, and numerous fire departments and working with Duke Energy to formulate a plan for extinguishing the fire.
That evacuation reportedly covers a one-mile radius from the site of the explosion, where a huge fireball can be seen shooting into the air. Officials are saying the blast was not terrorist-related. Hollywood composer Elmer Bernstein has died. He wrote more than 200 film and TV scores. He passed away at his home near Los Angeles. He was 82. Dow futures down 29 points now. The NASDAQ down 6. This is USA Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. You have little ones around? Allergies driving you crazy? Can't sleep? Purify the air in your home with my Orrick Tabletop Air Purifier. Its lifetime filter never needs replacing. Try it free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Chances are you'll see the difference, feel the difference, and sleep better. And maybe you use a few less allergy pills.
The Long Ride Home by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between 14 hours in a minivan, between the world's largest pothole and the hubcap that got away, between 5, look at the horses, about 50, I have to go to the bathrooms, and one amazing sunset. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
Call 1-800-800-8000 or visit super8.com. All Super 8 Motels are individually owned and operated.
Gusty winds making life difficult for firefighters battling the Fisher Fire in north central Washington. That blaze near Leavenworth grew to nearly 13,000 acres Wednesday, forcing hundreds of people to leave the area. Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry attacking President Bush's plan to withdraw overseas troops. Speaking to the veterans of Foreign Wars National Convention in Cincinnati, Kerry said the president's plan to withdraw 70,000 troops overseas came at the wrong time and was done in the wrong way. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice countered Kerry's remarks by saying the president recognizes that old Cold War U.S. military deployments are not necessary now.
It makes no sense to stay with a Cold War posture, a posture that, frankly, the president realized all the way back before he was elected needed to be reformed.
Kerry disagreed with Mr. Bush's decision to announce the withdrawal plans as the U.S. and other countries try to convince North Korea to give up its nuclear weapons program. This is USA Radio Network News.
6, 7, 8, and lift! Lift! Raise your palm to the sky! Let's hear it! Hearts are pumping! Turn your palms to the left! Squeeze it high! Are you feeling the burn? Wag that tail!
Dogs don't have cardio aerobics. That's why they have IMES, with 7 essential nutrients for a strong, healthy heart.
Give yourself a lick on the back!
Nourish every heartbeat, love every bite. IMES, good for life.
Organizers of the largest protest at the Republican National Convention have filed suit against the city to hold a rally in Central Park. Mayor Michael Bloomberg says he's not budging.
While admitting a court order would give the city no options, Mike Bloomberg says the city's position right now about this massive protest in Central Park has been and remains very clear.
Let me just repeat. I don't seem to be able to get my message through. We are not going to give a permit for Central Park for a quarter of a million people.
Bloomberg says United for Peace and Justice could have filed suit months ago and that the city has been very fair.
No barbed wire, no pens. They can march right by Madison Square Garden and express themselves. That's what they had asked for, and we found a ways to do that.
Bloomberg says a change in the plan now will be a huge problem for the NYPD. Glenn Shuck in New York.
More news on USARadio.com. John Scott reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show. Its mission to take small business where it's never been. Brought to you by IBM. Solutions designed and built to help small business. And Office Depot. What you need to know. And now, the captain of Small Business Enterprise.
Kim, you can't hand over the Enterprise.
Jim Blassingame.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to be with you, and this is a place where you can go and not worry about whether any of the other news, some of the other stuff that's out there that's blows you away. I don't know about you, but you know, I don't need wall-to-wall coverage of some murder case in, you know, another part of the country, or, you know, I mean, I guess it needs to be reported, but holy mackerel, are you that interested? Am I the only one who's not interested in knowing every little detail in a murder trial in California or in Utah or wherever it may be? I mean, yes, this is something that you know, I guess that we want to know about, but I mean, about the case, but every single little detail, every night, do you want to hear two talking heads comparing this note and that note and just nuancing? I don't understand that. Anyway, you don't have to listen to that stuff on this show. If you would like to get away from some of that, that's one good reason to listen to the Small Business Advocate Show. We don't talk about those kinds of things. You can get that plenty of other places. We talk about things that are exciting and positive and small business things. That's right. Anything that has to do with small business, even when things are tough, even when we have when we're having our challenges, is still fun. To be a small business owner, sometimes it's a little more fun than others, but it's still basically fun because of what we get to do, and that's work for our own account, follow our own dream, hitch our wagon to our own star, make something happen from nothing, and when we do, it belongs to us. That's pretty exciting to me, and that's the reason why, and I know it's exciting to you, and that's the reason why I do what I do and why you do what you do. Joan Pride is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. She's going to be with us right after these messages. Nine after. Stay with me. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. Hello, friends. This is Jim Blasingame. It's with great pride and pleasure that I introduce our newest sponsor partner, Office Depot. As you should know by now, we're pretty particular about who we associate our brand with and recommend to you. In 5 years, my promise has always been to find and tell you about only the very best resources for your small business, whether that be an expert guest on the show or a sponsor. You probably didn't need me to tell you that Office Depot fits this profile, but I'm going to anyway. What you need to know, is more than words at Office Depot. When it comes to offering solutions for what you and I go through running our businesses, these guys get it. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be telling you about some specific Office Depot offerings, but for now, I think it's enough that you should know, whether in your hometown store or at OfficeDepot.com, the folks at Office Depot want to be your partner too. If you haven't already, give them a chance to prove it. Thanks, Office Depot, for being on our team. Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're going to talk about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world today. Hey, Joan.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
Hi there.
Hi there.
It's good to have you back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be back.
You know, folks, I was wondering why... Oh, by the way, Joan and I, we have many things in common, but
we
also have many things that are not in common. But one of the things you and I have in common is that you and I agree on that we don't need to know every little teeny tiny thing that's going on in the Scott Peterson murder trial.
You know what? We don't need to know any more. We don't need to know any of it.
Tell me
anymore.
What you're going to do with him. That's all. You know, down the road, whenever it's through, tell me what happened.
The only people that even need to know that are Lacey Peterson's family.
Right.
Everybody
else.
Well,
I mean, I don't mind. I would be willing. It'd be fine with me to report to me that you know what the verdict of the jury was. I'd like to know that.
True. Yeah.
I want to know that.
Guilty. That's it. Takes 2 seconds.
Yeah. Exactly. That's all I need to know.
Yeah.
But and then there's this case in Utah, the Mark Hacking case, I guess it is. And I, you know, I'm figuring CNN must have it cost CNN $10 billion in ad revenue when Hacking basically confessed. I mean, they, you know, you got to believe that a lot of these talking head shows, you know, the idea that he has confessed is really cost them a lot of money.
Oh, no question about it. It's too bad for the media, but it's just as well for the poor families.
Well, I thought I was the only person who didn't watch 1 minute, one consecutive minute, one whole 60-second period of the OJ trial, but you apparently didn't either.
I don't think I did either.
Yeah, I had no interest.
I watched
in
the verdict, and that was about it, which is more than I think you watched.
I didn't even watch the verdict.
But I was at work, and it was on, so I watched it.
No, I maybe it's because I have a life. I don't know, Joan. But
no, that's not it.
Oh,
that's
it's not? Okay.
It.
Yeah, you know better, don't you?
Right.
You know.
Well, Jim, I think we're kind of bonding here.
I know. It's
wow.
Frightening. Let's move on quickly.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
I noticed, though, that I'm feeling a little giddy and happy this month, and I couldn't figure out why, and you just reminded me. Tell the audience.
I know what it is.
Tell the audience why I'm feeling happy and you know, almost you know, just a little lighthearted and everything. Why is
In
that?
In fact, anybody around the country who got up this morning and is feeling a little bit happier, or I guess this has been going on since the beginning of the month, Congress is out of town for their annual summer break. They're on their summer vacation, so the Republic is safe.
The
they
Republic,
can't do anything.
I feel so much safer when they're not gaggled together up there
and
in Washington.
They took an extra long break this year. They were
they
gone as of the last week of July.
You know, I'm thinking about that. You know, that little song that they played in the cartoons. You know, when the little bucolic setting out in the pasture and everything, and when the birds were twirping and all that kind of thing. That's how I feel right now, because Congress is out of session, and the president is off and out of town now campaigning. So
right.
Is that leaving you with Washington, Joan? Are you minding Washington now? It's you and a lobbyist,
much.
Though. It's you
about
and a lobbyist.
Me and maybe three or four other people, and that's it.
I always like.
Boy, is it nice.
That's the reason I like August, is because the government is basically gone.
That's right.
They can't. They can't be up to any mischief.
And Joe, this year they'll come back and be gone again pretty quickly again, because we have elections at the beginning
campaign,
of November.
After campaign.
So
that's,
you have to figure that there may be eight weeks left in the congressional session.
So you're saying that maybe that's one good thing about an election year?
Oh no, absolutely.
Joan, let's talk about what's on the letter. In the letter, the first bit of news in the letter on page one is the issue of energy prices.
Yes.
Talk to us about it.
Well, just to preface this, a little late breaking news. Energy oil futures yesterday, I think, rose above $47, which is, I think, a record.
It's a dollar record. It's not a percentage record relative to inflation, adjusted for
inflation.
Okay,
very good. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
But I guess the point is, things are going to get worse before they get better, which is kind of a lead in to our lead, which is about how energy prices are affecting the economy and will be affecting the economy for months to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems that some of the pricing that we have now for oil, which, by the way, Joan, I saw something the other day, and maybe it may have been on your website, I can't remember, but I saw something the other day about the fact that oil prices would have to almost double to be above a record in terms of adjusted for inflation from the previous high.
Well, that's good news.
Well, it's good news, except
in a way.
It might make you feel a little better, but it doesn't help you at the gas pump.
No, because in relative terms, gas prices are still very high compared to what they were 1 year or 2 years ago, and people
right.
are having, both individuals and businesses, as you know, are having to adjust their lives
their
around
budgets.
This.
Well,
their budgets, right?
It's having a severe impact on the economy.
Yes,
it's
a tax. It really is.
Bill Dunkelberg was on earlier, and he was pointing out and I've forgotten the number that you used, but he was talking about what a significant percentage of extra tax this is on our economy. And, and of course, if it ever comes down, the tax will go away. But a lot of the problem we have right now, several of my economists have pointed out this month, is not so much anymore about the supply and demand issue as it is speculation. There's some speculation going on, which is increasing the price of oil.
Oh, I believe that. Sure.
So
it's to be expected at this point.
Right. So, Joan, let's talk about the production issue. The word that I read recently was that the Saudis, which we even though we think about OPEC, we typically think about the Saudis taking up the slack whenever we can get them to do that.
Right.
And apparently, what I read was, and this is the exact words that were used, they're prepared to produce flat out. Now, do you know what that means?
They said flat out?
Flat out is the exact words that we used.
In terms of how much is that? I don't know how much that is, no.
But I mean, it just means that whatever, they're going to crank open the pipes, and as much as those pipes will hold, and as long as they, as you know, and for as long as they need, they're prepared to take up the slack and pump flat out.
Well, they can crank all they want, but you still have problems even outside the Middle East, because you have to look at Russia and Venezuela
that's
and other
exactly
areas,
right.
too.
That's exactly right. We've got some
that's
problems down there.
Mean.
And that's why the speculation is going on.
Right.
And Iraq and Russia and Venezuela, that's where the folks are trying to speculate on what's going on, and there's a lot of worries there. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Hello, friends. This is Jim Blasingame. It's with great pride and pleasure that I introduce our newest sponsor partner, Office Depot. As you should know by now, we're pretty particular about who we associate our brand with and recommend to you. In 5 years, my promise has always been to find and tell you about only the very best resources for your small business, whether that be an expert guest on the show or a sponsor. You probably didn't need me to tell you that Office Depot fits this profile, but I'm going to anyway. What you need to know, is more than words at Office Depot. When it comes to offering solutions for what you and I go through running our businesses, these guys get it. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be telling you about some specific Office Depot offerings, but for now, I think it's enough that you should know, whether in your hometown store or at OfficeDepot.com, the folks at Office Depot want to be your partner too. If you haven't already, give them a chance to prove it. Thanks, Office Depot, for being on our team. Hi folks, this is Jim Blasingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get a practical answer to your small business question by an expert member of my Brain Trust? Well, you can do that at IBM's Resource Center at ibm.com/business center/sbresources. Want to see how others are using technology? Go to IBM's Online Resource Center to find case studies and articles that address many business challenges and opportunities. Want to find the technology solutions for your size business, including email marketing, web hosting, broadband, security, and wireless? All that and more is at ibm.com/business center/sb resources. And then, when you're ready for your next PC system, IBM has a handy tool that will help you customize just the right desktop PC or ThinkPad system for your business. Remember, that's the IBM Resource Center at www.ibm.com/business center/sb resources. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. That's jbsba.com. That's the acronym, by the way, for Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate, in case you forget. Maybe that'll help you. And you can subscribe to our free newsletter when you get there. I think you'll like it. This week, the feature article is about networking thoughts, some thoughts that'll help you do a better job and get a little more return on your investment when you're networking. Also, don't forget all the other things you can do on my site, archives and articles and lots of different things there. Joan Pride is our guest, and she's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're talking about what's on the first page of the Kiplinger letter this week, which is primarily all about petroleum. And Joan, the stars are aligning to create a little bit of fuel budget disaster
yes.
In terms of the increase in demand, the not increase in capacity for refined products of petroleum, and then when you throw in the fact that Russia has crippled one of their largest oil producers in a tax battle, the Zukos folks, and you got the Venezuela thing, as you mentioned earlier. We got other problems over there. We got who knows what's going to happen in Iraq, and And it's a skittish time right now. The combination of those two things are driving fuel prices up.
You know, Jim, I was feeling pretty good when I got up this morning, and you're starting to ruin my day.
Well,
but it's very true, and that's kind of why our lead was what we called the risk factor.
Right.
There's so much possible risk out there and so much uncertainty, which is part of the reason why you have oil futures as high as they are today.
Well, you're right, and you know that I don't like dwelling on these things, but I think it's important for small business owners to realize, if they haven't thought about it before, is to realize what the dynamics are of when they pay $1.80 or $2 for a gallon of gas, and what the dynamics are to create that kind of a price, and what basically is the reason why basically are the reasons why I'm telling small business owners, when you're budgeting your fleet fuel for the next 6 months or a year, you need to budget it at least at where it is right now.
Yes. That's a very good point.
Because there are two things have to resolve themselves before prices come down. One of them is this unrest, which actually could happen, but the other is the supply and demand thing, which is, believe it or not, Joan, that's going to be harder to fix than the unrest thing, isn't it?
Well, you know, we're all addicted to our big, huge SUVs,
yeah.
You know, and I have my fleet of Hummers.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I don't know how that's going to change.
Joan, here's a number that you guys published this week that just, I've seen it before, but it just blows me away every time I see it. Folks, here's the world output of crude oil. Here's the number. 90 million barrels of crude every day of the year.
Well, I hate to be nitpicky here,
well,
but it's really 82 right now.
82.
It's only 82.
Right. It's going to go. That's right. That's right. You guys said it's going to that by 2007, yeah. But still 82 million. Joan, I'm thinking, what is it looking like down there where all this is coming from? You know what I mean? What is it? What are the holes? What's going in those holes?
Do we really have that much oil for indefinitely?
Which brings,
we can pump that much?
You know, an orange, like a 2 week old orange, looks like after sit on the counter for a couple of weeks. You know how it kind of wrinkles up a little bit. I wonder, is the earth going to turn into a piece of dried fruit one of these days? But Joan, talking about that, 90 million, 82 million barrels a day, one of the things I keep coming back to on this is the fact that nobody really knows. I'm not even sure that the Saudis know for sure, but they're not telling, if they do know, what their reserves are.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So, we're sitting here, as you say, thinking that it's like electricity. We plug it into the wall and we get some. You know, this is a finite, whatever petroleum we have is a finite number, isn't it?
No question about it.
So it's something to think about.
Yeah. What are you saying about me, that I have to give up some of my Hummers?
I'm thinking that you're going to have to go down to at least no more than two Hummers and nothing but the Bentley. The only limousine you can have is the Bentley.
Ooh. I'll get back to you on that.
And I need you to upgrade the motors on your helicopter to get them more efficient. The more efficient
well, that
engine.
I can do.
The more efficient engines in your motor and your motorcycles.
Well, at least I get to keep it.
Well, Joan, where are we going with all this? You got any is there any good news on the horizon with regard to petroleum? Is anybody going to spend any money to try to find new petroleum or increase the production?
Well, you would think, the pendulum swings back and forth. I know that there was a dearth of that kind of activity going on, but you would think it would have to pick up now, given the price situation.
Yeah, but apparently, according to you guys, it seems that not too many people are willing to put the capital into this.
Well, that's true.
But that would make you think that maybe people are putting capital into alternative fuels. And I know that's going on, but I don't think it's going on to a great degree, is it?
Or not fast enough, maybe.
Not fast enough, yeah. Stand by. We come back. We're going to talk about some new banking issues with regard to your check. How fast your check's going to speed through the bank. We're going to talk about that first, right after these messages. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Hello, friends. This is Jim Blassingame. It's with great pride and pleasure that I introduce our newest sponsor partner, Office Depot. As you should know by now, we're pretty particular about who we associate our brand with and recommend to you. In 5 years, my promise has always been to find and tell you about only the very best resources for your small business, whether that be an expert guest on the show or a sponsor. You probably didn't need me to tell you that Office Depot fits this profile, but I'm going to anyway. What you need to know, is more than words at Office Depot. When it comes to offering solutions for what you and I go through running our businesses, these guys get it. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be telling you about some specific Office Depot offerings, but for now, I think it's enough that you should know, whether in your hometown store or at OfficeDepot.com, the folks at Office Depot want to be your partner too. If you haven't already, give them a chance to prove it. Thanks, Office Depot, for being on our team. Hi folks, this is Jim Blassingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get a practical answer to your small business question by an expert member of my brain trust? Well, you can do that at IBM's Resource Center at ibm.com/business center/SB resources. Want to see how others are using technology? Go to IBM's Online Resource Center to find case studies and articles that address many business challenges and opportunities. Want to find the technology solutions for your size business, including email marketing, web hosting, broadband, security, and wireless? All that and more is at ibm.com/business center/SB resources. And then, when you're ready for your next PC system, IBM has a handy tool that will help you customize just the right desktop PC or ThinkPad system for your business. Remember, that's the IBM Resource Center at www.ibm.com/business center/SB resources. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for your time and attention. And as a friend of mine says to his customers, thank you for the food. Joan Bride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And don't forget, my website is www.jbsba.com. And Joan's website at Kiplinger is Kiplinger.com. That's where they can subscribe to the newsletters, can't they, Joan?
It's a great website. Absolutely.
It really is. You could, in addition to the to their letters, folks, their publications, I should say, rather than newsletters. Mine's a newsletter. Theirs is a real letter. The Kiplinger letter, which has been around since 23, that's 1923. Is where you can. That's the weekly flagship letter. That's the one Joan and I work off of. And don't forget, they've got three other biweekly letters: the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter. And they've also got a magazine that's pretty cool too, Joan.
That's right. It's called Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And I saw it on the newsstand the other day. I was in, actually in an airport the other day, and I saw it. It's quite often. You can find it, folks, in bookstores and newsstands, and that's monthly. And you can go to the website and subscribe and get that 30-day free trial, or they can call a phone number, Joan. Have you got the phone number?
That's right. We do. We have a toll-free number. It's 800-544-0155.
All right. So whatever Kiplinger does, folks, is good stuff. Joan, over on page two, you guys talk about something that's going to change, that is changing, the way we do our banking business. You know, Joan, there was a time when you could go down in the morning and pay your cable bill or your utility bill or your phone bill, or you could write a check to a business for your cleaning or whatever on Friday morning because you knew you were going to get paid that afternoon, and you could deposit it, you know, by 5 o'clock, 5:30 on Friday, and even though it wasn't going to be in your account until Monday, you knew those checks that you wrote that morning were going to be covered because they weren't going to hit until maybe Tuesday or Wednesday.
Well,
that was a nice trip down memory lane, wasn't it?
Let's get back to the real world now.
The real world is something called Check 21. Tell us about it.
Well, I guess for years they've been calling it check truncation, which means that you may pay by check, but at some point in the process, that check will cease to be a piece of paper and become an electronic transaction.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you need to know that because it's going to move through the system a heck of a lot faster.
Well, it's already happening. The speed with which your account is tapped for the money that you write that check for is already happening. You know, a couple of years ago, Joan, I walked into a department store and gave them a check, and they put it through their system, and literally, while I was standing there, confirmed that I had the money in the account.
That's right. That's check truncation, right?
Mm-hmm. But now Check 21, and Mike Menzies, our resident banker, was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and told us that, and I think this is one of the things you were mentioning, and I think you guys mentioned that in your letter this week, is that people will, the company that you give your check to, if they have the equipment, will actually put your check into the machine, and it'll ring up, it'll verify you have the funds, and then they'll hand you your check back.
That's right. Oh, that's happened to me.
Has it really?
Oh, yeah, that's happened. That's what I mean by this idea of truncating the transaction.
Okay.
You get the check back, so it never actually goes through the system. And
right.
By that happening, you save a lot of money.
Well, yeah, it cuts down on the expenses, especially for the bank. But Joan, when I did the example of what I said, they kept my check. They just verified the funds. But what you're saying, and this Check 21 thing is you actually... You know, I mean, so if you're going to get the check back, why even write it? You know, and that's where we're moving towards the debit things.
That was what my other point was. I'm addicted to my debit card. I use that for just about everything I can.
But how do you keep up with your records and everything? I mean,
I have a little secret way of doing that.
Oh, you do? Oh,
a secret
way.
Well, you have to make sure you get the receipt, and I put it in a spot in my wallet where I'll see it and make sure I add it to my balance.
Right.
Subtracted from my balance soon after. Because if you just throw the receipt away, you wreak havoc with your checkbook.
Okay, now, folks, that's her secret way, so don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
She shared her little secret with us.
No, this is just for your listeners.
This is just for us, isn't it?
Premium information that your listeners are getting.
You know, Joan, in the old days, there was a little joke at the end of a big negotiation, like a real estate transaction, especially if it was among, you know, professionals. Who gets the float? Whenever a transaction would happen on a Friday, who gets the float? That means who gets to keep the money in their account for the next 3 days till all the I's get dotted and crossed?
Ain't no
well,
float no more.
There's no float anymore. That's exactly right. And when we come back, this is changing the way the Federal Reserve Board is doing business. I want to comment on that real quick, and then we'll move on to some other things with our good friend Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Stay with us. 20 Tell. Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Hello, friends. This is Jim Blasingame. It's with great pride and pleasure that I introduce our newest sponsor partner, Office Depot. As you should know by now, we're pretty particular about who we associate our brand with and recommend to you. In 5 years, my promise has always been to find and tell you about only the very best resources for your small business, whether that be an expert guest on the show or a sponsor. You probably didn't need me to tell you that Office Depot fits this profile, but I'm going to anyway. What you need to know, is more than words at Office Depot. When it comes to offering solutions for what you and I go through running our businesses, these guys get it. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be telling you about some specific Office Depot offerings, but for now, I think it's enough that you should know, whether in your hometown store or at OfficeDepot.com, the folks at Office Depot want to be your partner too. If you haven't already, give them a chance to prove it. Thanks, Office Depot, for being on our team. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. We're back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, we've got Bill Hubbard, who is our human resources expert, Steve Del Bianco, who is one of our top technology experts, and Neil Wade is with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They got a big conference coming up for small businesses in September, and I've asked Neil to join us to talk to us about that, and that's coming up in the show straight ahead. Joan Pride is with us. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, we're talking about this Check 21 thing. You know, to go back a little further, Adam Smith, the great economist and the basically the father of modern economics, wrote in The Wealth of Nations that the three most important things that humans have created are the written language, the economic tables, which is basically mathematics, and money. But money has changed over the years a lot. It's less likely to be cash and coin.
That's right.
And more likely to be electronic.
That's
and it's
right.
Getting more like that every day, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
And that's changing the way the government does business. For example, in their annual report this year, one of the things that Bob McTeer reported on in his part of the report, he's the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, was how their organization has had to change because of the diminishing number of checks.
Ah.
See, that's what these federal banks do around the country.
Yeah.
One of their prime jobs
right.
is to process the checks.
Right.
The physical paper checks. And that's changing the way they do business. So the reason I point this out, Joan, is because small business owners need to realize that the way we take money from customers is changing, and it's going to continue to change.
Yeah, and checks were always very clunky, and there was a certain amount of risk to them, although now I think it's much easier. You can, even if you do take a check and keep it and don't give it back to the customer in a truncated transaction, you still have much better ways of checking to make sure that not only is the check valid, but there is sufficient funds in the account.
Right. Well, and one of the things I'd like to encourage small business owners to do is look for the technology that can be available to you on your level, on your scale, at a budget that you can afford, that allows you to be able to do everything that the big companies can do.
Right.
So that you don't take any more bad checks.
Right, exactly.
And that sort of thing. So it's important that you start thinking about these things, because for one thing, it's good for your business. The other thing is, it's what your customers are going to want. Because they're going to expect you to have that, because there's a lot of technology for taking money, Joan, that's not just about getting the money faster, but it's more convenient. Like you say, you're addicted to your
right.
debit card.
If I'm your customer, I really want you to be able to take a debit transaction.
Right.
And I'll be very cranky if you don't.
Joan, let's move on down and talk about human resources. Tell us about this age discrimination lawsuits that seem to be increasing for employers.
Right. This is interesting, and it kind of makes sense, because we have the boomers are moving through the population there and getting older. And this is interesting. Now more than half of the nation's population is over 40. And 40, of course, is the magic age when the age, I think it's Age Discrimination in Employment Act kicks in and mm-hmm. protects people from being discriminated against based on their age. So I think business owners have to be aware of this and realize that individuals are getting more aware of this and they're fighting for their rights.
Well, there's apparently a ruling coming up by the Supreme Court that's going to have an impact on this, Joan, that you guys reported on this week.
Well, yeah, it all has to do with sort of the disproportionate effect. If you do something to your employees, make some rule, and it disproportionately affects the older workers, the workers over 40, you may have a problem on your hands in terms of the ADEA law. And I guess the question is, if the disproportionate effect was intentional, are you still liable as the business owner?
Well,
very interesting question.
As big as the baby boomer generation is, this is a body of law that's got to be becoming well defined over the next several years.
That's right. Sure.
Because the baby boom generation is a generational wave that's never been seen before.
Right. You know, we had the laws better defined on disability, race, sex discrimination, and now sort of the next natural evolution in all these laws is the age discrimination laws.
Right. What about this thing that you guys report this week with firms balking on contributing to health savings accounts, Joan?
Well, do we have a half an hour? Because I'd love to talk about this one.
You got a minute and a half.
Okay, very quickly. Health savings accounts, as I'm sure your listeners know, are a new kind of account that was created in the Medicare drug prescription drug law. They can be opened by individuals or by businesses on behalf of their workers, and contributions are deductible, withdrawals are tax-free. The only point is that the individual has to have a high deductible health insurance plan or no health insurance plan to be eligible for these accounts. Now, the sticky point is, as I said, withdrawals are tax-free if used to pay legitimate medical expenses. But employers want to make sure that their employees use the money that they're putting into the accounts for legitimate expenses. And a new ruling from the IRS says that they have no authority to force proper distributions from these accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be a problem. Treasury and IRS went back and forth on this one quite a bit, and they decided the individual should have the power to do whatever they wanted with this money.
And this is brand new experience, folks, because the ability for employers to contribute to an HSA has only been available since the first of the year, Joan.
Exactly, that's
around,
right.
Somewhere it was December, right. I think it was, maybe of last
that's
year,
right.
when the new Medicare bill was passed. So this is brand new stuff. It's just going to take some time to work out the kinks, I think, because HSAs, folks, are important. They're important.
They're the wave of the future.
That's exactly right. It's very important, especially for small business owners. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back. We're going to talk a little politics when we come back. Stay with us. Quench my desire, and I'll be. Hi, folks. This is Jim Blasingame with good news about valuable online resources from our friends at IBM. Want to get a practical answer to your small business question by an expert member of my brain trust? Well, you can do that at IBM's Resource Center at ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. Want to see how others are using technology? Go to IBM's Online Resource Center to find case studies and articles that address many business challenges and opportunities. Want to find the technology solutions for your size business, including email marketing, web hosting, broadband, security, and wireless? All that and more is at ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. And then, when you're ready for your next PC system, IBM has a handy tool that will help you customize just the right desktop PC or ThinkPad system for your business. Remember, that's the IBM Resource Center at www.ibm.com/businesscenter/sbresources. Thanks again, IBM, for all you do for small business. Hello, friends. This is Jim Blasingame. It's with great pride and pleasure that I introduce our newest sponsor partner, Office Depot. As you should know by now, we're pretty particular about who we associate our brand with and recommend to you. In 5 years, my promise has always been to find and tell you about only the very best resources for your small business, whether that be an expert guest on the show or a sponsor. You probably didn't need me to tell you that Office Depot fits this profile, but I'm going to anyway. What you need to know, is more than words at Office Depot. When it comes to offering solutions for what you and I go through running our businesses, these guys get it. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be telling you about some specific Office Depot offerings, but for now, I think it's enough that you should know, whether in your hometown store or at OfficeDepot.com, the folks at Office Depot want to be your partner too. If you haven't already, give them a chance to prove it. Thanks, Office Depot, for being on our team. Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Joan Pride. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Joan, the Coloradans, we've got a lot of listeners in Colorado to this show. They're up in arms about something. What's going on?
Well, it's the good old Electoral College that the Founding Fathers saddled us with. As you know, in each state, when there's a presidential election, the winner of a given state takes all the delegates,
yep,
even if they win by one percentage point.
But there are some states that aren't like that, but most of them are, right?
Right.
What are there, half a dozen states that...
I thought that was the case, but we say here Colorado would be the first state to adopt a proportional system, but I didn't think there were some states that had...
Anyway, but most of them, you're right, most of them are like this. But in Coloradans don't like it, do they?
Correct.
They're independent thinkers, those guys.
Yeah, but they sure are.
They don't like the winner-take-all thing.
So they're developing a proportional system, and I think we're saying that probably other states would follow suit. I mean, there are some Americans that say get rid of the Electoral College because mm-hmm. it's kind of an anachronism.
That would really change the landscape of campaigns, wouldn't it? The method of campaigning
it sure would.
For president.
Think about how much it would, yeah.
Well, there would be no more battleground states.
Right.
Those 359 people that we said were going to decide the election, they would lose their influence.
Well, and campaigners wouldn't be depending on, you know, looking at states as individual states. They would be looking more overall.
Just like a Republican candidate wouldn't say, well, California's, you know, history. No, why go out there? And a Democrat candidate might say, you know, why go to Texas? I can't win down there. So you know, all that would change, wouldn't it? If every state had the proportional system.
Yeah, it would be a dramatic change.
I'm not sure. I think I might like the new system.
Oh, might you? Okay.
The proportional system.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I've always thought the Electoral College was rather odd, and of course it was put in place by founding fathers who didn't trust the great unwashed to make smart choices, to make educated, informed choices. But
they also didn't trust women to vote, and you guys got that, you know, after 150 years. They also didn't trust the great unwashed to select their own senators, and we finally got
that's
that.
That's right. That's right. So there's an evolutionary process going on, no question.
Right. Joan, let's move over and talk a little bit about the economy. Productivity gains, you guys say, we're going to continue to rely on productivity gains, not so much hiring. What's up with that?
Well, again, as we've talked about, you know, there's a lot of risk factors going on, and businesses are concerned about adding a lot of full-time people to their roles. So profits will be up, but it'll be more because of productivity gains than because of hiring additional people.
Well, you know, Joan, I have told my audience, small business owners, for a long time, your obligation is to your company, not to the employment of the nation.
Right. Absolutely.
And I've encouraged them to seek technology, any growth that they want to have, any kind of system they'd like to improve and like to get better at and maybe to grow. Find the technology first, and then hire the employees to serve the technology.
Right, exactly.
Because that's the more efficient, the more profitable way to go. Yep. And apparently, Joan, they've been listening to me. Right?
Wow.
Because productivity is up, but hiring is not necessary.
You
so much.
Even more influence than I had thought.
It's frightening, I know. But
frightening
for you,
to me. Yeah.
For you, but seriously, that's what's happening. And Joan, it's not only what's happening in the United States; it's happening worldwide.
That's true.
Manufacturing jobs are down worldwide because of the productivity arising from technology.
That's right.
A report came out. You know about that report that came out back in the winter. And
yeah.
it's just something right. That's... Now, productivity increases will allow the Feds to raise rates a little bit. You guys reported on that.
But keep them from going crazy, which is good.
Right. Which means that basically the Fed really does believe that this productivity we're seeing is real, right?
Oh, finally. Oh, good.
Yeah. Joan,
it's
anything,
taken them a while.
Anything you'd like to report about the upcoming Republican convention?
Well, let's see. It's going to be in New York. It's going to be starting on Monday, I think.
No, it's a week from Monday, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it starts on the 30th.
The mayor of New York is helping protesters by giving them little buttons so they can get discounts when they spend money in New York. I'm not kidding. He is.
Oh boy, unbelievable.
As long as they're not violent.
Right. As long as they have to play nice, don't they?
Yeah.
They have to work and play well with others, right?
Like
you and I do.
Economic incentive.
Just like you and I do.
Right.
Thanks, Joan.
Thank you, Jim.
See you next time.
Okay.
Joan Pride, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.